Hello again, this is Jeffrey Davis, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm still tingling from my last interview, and it was quite an interview. But our next one, I don't think will disappoint either, thanks to our great executive producer, Nathan Gopes. This is Dr. Sanjeev Chopra, professor of medicine, Harvard Medical School. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Delighted to be with you.
Did I get the name right?
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. Yeah. So, I don't know if you wanted to start with your books or just tell us a little bit about yourself and wander into these two beautiful books you brought me today.
Oh, thank you so much. So, I'm a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. I had the privilege of serving as the faculty dean for continuing education at Harvard Med School for 12 years and got to know so many amazing, brilliant people. I often refer to them as national living treasures. Now I'm doing teaching.
What I call my wife.
And now I do teaching and mentoring and run medical conferences around the country and different parts of the world. I just came back from Kuwait, and before that I was in Singapore directing and speaking at CME conferences. And at the Brigham, I served one day as the Marshall Wolf Master Clinician Educator. Marshall Wolf was the Vice Chair of Medicine, and when he retired, somebody donated four such positions. Honored to be doing that.
Wow. And is there a major theme to what you're trying to communicate to people? You're clearly trying to teach them something.
Yeah.
So tell us what you're trying to teach us.
So my specialty happens to be hepatology, which is liver disease. And so I teach a lot of hepatology and medicine. But I also talk about leadership. I talk about dharma, happiness, and living with purpose. I talk about the top stories in medicine in the last century, and then I predict what will happen in the next 50 years. The hottest topic is microbiome, which are the 100 trillion bacteria in our GI tract. Mm-hmm. In aggregate, they weigh 3 pounds. It's been called the second human genome, the inner bacterial rainforest, and it has implications in obesity, diabetes, liver disease, arthritis, autism, Parkinson's, on and on, even cancer. So I've developed a talk that I've given around the country as a keynote. It's called Microbiome, Man, and Medicine.
Wow. Can we dive a little bit into that, just a little bit?
Sure.
Some of the highlights?
Yeah. So, you know, the microbiome...
You've intrigued me.
Yeah. So the microbiome is influenced by the way we are born. C-section versus vaginal delivery. Whether we're born in rural Iowa or in downtown Boston. Whether we take a probiotic or whether as a child we get an antibiotic in the first 2 years of life. Whether we have jet lag, whether we travel, whether we eat kimchi, whether we take antacids, whether we take Nexium, proton pump inhibitors. Pretty much everything influences the microbiome. And the therapeutic implications are now being realized. There's a condition called C. diff colitis, which one paradoxically gets by taking an antibiotic. So you take an antibiotic, it kills certain bacteria in our GI tract. This bacteria called C. diff is sitting dormant. It says, aha, now my chance.
Now
and
I'm going to get you.
It produces a toxin, can lead to colitis, and can even really be fatal. And now we have to kill this C. diff with an antibiotic.
Wow.
And it turns out the best antibiotic is vancomycin, but it has a 70-80% success rate in getting rid of it. You know what really works well?
Why?
Close to 100%?
Why?
A fecal transplant, stool transplant. So we study the stool, we make sure it's negative for HIV, HBV, HCV, study it again, a month later it's negative, and one treatment has like a 90% success rate. So in my talk I say the number one treatment for refractory C. diff may well be number two. Gets a laugh.
Sorry, I didn't laugh. I was listening. I had me concentrating.
Yeah. Yeah. And look at obesity. There's a study in four identical Finnish twins.
Yeah.
All girls. One twin is thin, the other is markedly obese. Study the stool. It's different in the thin twins, different in the obese twins.
How is it different?
Different in the diversity of different bacteria.
Really?
Okay, yeah. So now the clever part of the study, which got it published in Science, they took the stool of the thin twins and gave it to genetically lean mice, and the mice remained thin. They gave the stool of the fat twins, mixed it with the food of the mice, they eat everything. they gain 30% body weight, develop insulin resistance.
So are you a proponent for bacteria or no bacteria?
The good bacteria.
The good bacteria.
The good bacteria. We have both good and bad.
So can I ask you what your diet would be on a daily basis?
I eat very little red meat.
Right.
I eat a lot of fish.
Yeah, me too.
I eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruit. And this is the magical elixir, coffee. Coffee lowers the risk of 7 cancers, cirrhosis, Parkinsonism, Alzheimer's.
And caffeine,
regular coffee is better than decaf, but it's not the caffeine.
Right.
Tea doesn't have that benefit. Coca-Cola doesn't have the benefit.
And how many coffees do
you
have?
2 to 4 cups a day.
That's a lot of caffeine.
I have four. Now, there's something called telomeres. At the end of my shoelace, there's a piece of plastic. At the end of our chromosomes, we have telomeres. And the shorter the telomere, the greater the accelerated cellular aging.
Right.
Long telomeres means you'll probably live longer. Who has shortened telomeres? Mothers of chronically severely disabled children. The stress, day in, day out. Caregivers of people with Alzheimer's. Not the person with Alzheimer's. Who has longer telomeres? People who exercise, people on the Mediterranean diet.
Telomeres. And
people,
what are they?
I
exercise every day.
At the end of chromosomes, they prevent fraying of chromosomes. You live longer. So, you know who Elizabeth Blackburn, 2009, got the Nobel Prize in Medicine. It's a huge discovery.
So I don't consider myself working out every day because I hate, because that's work.
Yeah.
I play every day.
So that's good.
That's the way, because because that's what I did as a child.
Yeah.
I played every day, so I don't want to think of it as working out.
That's
because I think there's a psychological state difference between playing and working out.
True.
So I try to do that.
So exercise, good diet, coffee, and meditation.
What about this? I have iced homemade mint tea. No?
Not proven. Not proven to have health benefits.
Yeah,
I sometimes give a talk to 7,000 physicians in Anaheim, and about 100 people.
But a lot of people like green tea.
Yeah, but it's not proven. And a lot of them are Indian physicians, and they come up to me and say, Dr. Chopra, you didn't mention anything about tea. And I say to them, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Are you taking
Did you hear that?
Yes. Are you taking any vitamins?
The only vitamin you should take is vitamin D3.
I do.
Good.
I do take
The rest of it, I hate to say, is a multi-billion-dollar scam.
Right. I do
You should take a vitamin. If you're deficient, pregnant women should take folic acid to prevent spinal bifida.
My doctor made me take iron. I was low on iron.
Yeah. Then you take it. Or if you're taking methotrexate or Dilantin, it will interfere with folic acid. You need to take supplement. All this men over 50 and supplements is a huge...
Because you don't absorb it.
You don't need it. There's actually a study that women who take a multivitamin, I hesitate to say this, have a 30% increase in breast cancer. So you take vitamins if you need them.
And D3. So before we go, tell us about your two books.
So these two books, one is on leadership. Yes. I've given a talk around the country, around the world.
Leadership by example.
Example, the 10 key principles of all great leaders.
Right.
So the 10 key principles spell out the word leadership. L is great leaders are great listeners. It's a wonderful Turkish proverb. It says, listen 100 times, ponder 1,000 times, speak once. Mm-hmm. E is empathy. Great leaders are kind. His Holiness the Dalai Lama once said, be kind whenever possible, it is always possible. A is having an attitude that is upbeat and courageous. D is daring to dream big. You know, great leaders dare to dream big. They don't think of how they're going to achieve it. They articulate a vision and then the followers follow and rise to a higher level. E is effective. What's the difference between managers and leaders? Managers do things right. Leaders do the right things. Managers are for today. Leaders are for tomorrow. R is leaders are resilient. S is they have a sense of purpose. One of my favorite quotes is Mark Twain. The two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. H is having humility. Leaders also often have great humor.
Did we skip the S?
S is sense of purpose.
That was the 2 days.
Yeah, two most important days in your life.
Right, okay.
H is having humility, but also having humor. And I is having integrity, wild ideas, great imagination. Einstein once said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge will take you from A to B. Imagination will take you anywhere. And B is packing other people's parachutes, which is a metaphor. And there's a story, if we had time, I would tell you the story of Captain Charlie Plum, prisoner of war. But packing other people's parachutes means each one of us is here today because somebody packed our parachute, nurtured us, mentored us. Could be a parent, a teacher, a neighbor, a sibling. And our job as leaders is to pack other people's parachutes. And also,
pay it forward.
And also to thank those who packed our parachute. And my plea is, don't wait for the eulogy. Thank them now.
That is wonderful.
So that's my number.
I've been working with leadership for 40 years. I've worked with, in my firm, over 700 leaders of organizations.
Wow.
And that is just one of the
Thank
most beautiful
so
things.
Thank
it's
so
just
much.
So beautiful
Thank
what
you
just said. You just summarized almost every great management book that ever came out in
you.
One little and one word, and that was just incredible. So I want to thank you
so
for that.
Much.
And briefly before you go, the second book,
the second book
is called The Two Most Important Days, which we know now what that's about.
Yes, it turns out there are more than 25,000 books out there with the title, with the word happiness in the title. So with my colleague and friend, Gina Wild, who's the Associate Dean of External Communications, we wrote this book. And one day my wife and I and she were talking and I said, you know, we should have a different title. How about The Two Most Important Days? How to find your purpose and live a healthy and happy life. And then inside, as you open the book, you get the full quote of Mark Twain. And we have poems, we have exercises. My conviction is that the happiest people on this planet have four things in common. First is they have a cadre of good friends. Your friends are your chosen family. A friend is a gift you give to yourself. Second is ability to forgive. If you hold bitterness or rancor in your heart, you cannot be happy. Third is doing things for others. Albert Schweitzer, Nobel laureate, physician, theologian, once said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I'm certain of, the ones amongst you who will be truly happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. So I've distilled it three as friends, forgiveness for others. But there's a fourth one, and it begins with G, and it's not God. Atheists can be happy. It's gratitude. If you express gratitude on a weekly basis, let's say Sunday evening you sit down and reflect on the coming week, but look at the week that went by. Write down what you're grateful for.
All the great cultures try to teach humanity.
Humanity.
Humanity. Realize that there are other things more important than
sure.
yourself.
Beautiful.
And gratitude, right?
Beautiful. Yeah. So three F's and a G, but happiness is more than the sum total of happy moments. And in order for us to have sustained happiness, we have to find our purpose and live it.
And you know, I would actually tell you that 90% of the leaders of organizations I've coached and advised, they're not happy.
They're not happy.
They're trapped.
Yes. They're so true. There's a study by Scott Snook.
They're trapped worse than employees.
Yeah. Scott Snook and Nick Craig, Harvard Business School, wrote an article in Harvard Business Review.
Yeah.
Less than 20% of the top CEOs in this country articulated the purpose of their organization.
I think their numbers
are
off.
And a few number have articulated their own purpose in life.
You know, I think their numbers are off,
off.
To be honest. You know, they're academics versus the practitioner.
Yeah.
And, you know, most businesses are not large corporations.
Yeah.
Harvard does tend to orient towards our large corporate. I would tell you the numbers are much stronger than that.
Yeah.
Now, is that because they derive their happiness?
No.
All right.
Because happiness...
External...
Happiness,
sources.
Yes.
Happiness, he doesn't have a mic. No one heard his question.
Okay. Happiness is an inside job.
So, there's nothing wrong with Chris. He's very smart. So it's just he doesn't have a mic, so it's hard for people to hear him. But you've intrigued him clearly. Dr. Chopra, if someone wants to find you, do you have an email or a contact?
I have a website where a lot of my books and many of my talks are there. Sanjeev Chopra, S-A-N-J-I-V, Chopra, C-H-O-P-R-A, like one word, .com.
Will you come back again?
I would be honored.
You promise?
I promise.
Set the date before you leave. All right. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so
We're
much.
We're speaking with the very wise and kind Dr. Sanjeev Chopra, Professor of Medicine, Harvard Medical School. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Great spirit.
Thank you.
And we're going to take
a
break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you.